What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
It was so nice to watch football again. Preseason's back. We're recording this on Friday morning as you listen to this Saturday mailbag. So we will react to two games from last night, the Steelers and the Eagles, the Patriots, and the Washington football team. And we'll read all your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and your Apple Podcast questions as well. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, Chris Towers. We got to see Mac Jones last night. We got to see the two tight ends for the Philadelphia Eagles show a little bit. It was nice to have football back. Jamie, what stood out to you in the preseason games?
What stood out to me in the preseason games? I hate preseason football. It's fun to watch, but, you know, it's like the anticipation is great, and then it happens. You're like, oh, okay, let's get to the regular season already. Mac Jones, I thought, handled himself well. I thought Jalen Hurts actually looked pretty good. Quez Watkins was fun. There really wasn't much to learn last night, you know, from these games. Najee Harris had a couple runs called back by penalties, which was unfortunate. But I thought he ran well again. So, you know, it's more trying to figure out, you know, some depth for certain situations. But Quez Watkins is definitely somebody of interest now with what this Eagles receiving corps looks like.
Mm-hmm. Also kind of annoying that the Steelers starters played, or a lot of them did anyway, on offense, but not Ben Roethlisberger. So I know Chris was looking forward to seeing the new offense. I don't know if you learned anything there. Anything stand out to you in either of the preseason games, Chris?
I thought Tim Anderson hitting a walk-off home run into the corn was really cool.
Okay.
That was primarily what I watched last night.
I'm very glad I didn't see that play.
So. I was flipping back and forth, especially early on. And the one thing that really stood out to me, not being able to see Ben Roethlisberger in this offense, I don't know if he's going to play in the preseason at all at this point. I don't think they've said anything one way or the other.
He's playing in the third game.
Yeah, okay. The Washington football team had five third downs with the first team offense, and Antonio Gibson was not on the field for any of them. Peyton Barber actually was on the field for one.
I think he was on the field for the first one.
I think maybe I read wrong, but I think they had five, and it was Barber on the first one, and then McKissick on the next.
Maybe
four.
I thought I might have seen him on the first one. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
But that would be. That was definitely one of the things that I want to watch for in the preseason because, you know, I think we all knew that Antonio Gibson didn't play much on third down last year. I actually looked it up. He played 21 snaps on third downs last season. JD McKissick played 187, which is a wild gap. And, you know, obviously, if we want Antonio Gibson to make this big leap as a pass catcher, he was targeted three times yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, three times. But he'll have to have a bigger role on third down. So, you know, it's one preseason game. It's basically a quarter and a third. But so far, that wasn't what we saw yesterday, at least.
So what was the stat again? When were these third down situations? Because as I was watching it, I was kind of encouraged by at least the usage with the three targets, as you mentioned, for Antonio Gibson. So go ahead, repeat that, what you said.
It was, I believe... this is what I read last night, at least. It was five third down plays, and Antonio Gibson wasn't on the field for any of them.
And he was still in the game at that point?
Yes. Yeah, okay. These were with the first team offense.
Okay. Okay.
So he did have five carries and three targets in limited action. So that's good. But the third down thing is pretty interesting as well. Damian Harris started for the Patriots, no surprise. Sony Michel came in, was okay. Ramondre Stevenson had a 91-yard touchdown run later in the game. And
trade Sony Michel, please.
What about Zach Ertz at this point? Is he someone that, because he had three targets, he had a pretty bad drop, but he had two catches for 20 yards on three targets. And I believe he had the first catch of the game for the Eagles. Jamie, is Zach Ertz someone that we should be thinking about taking if we punt on tight end, as one of our last picks?
He's in the conversation if he stays in Philly. There's still some talk that they're going to try and move him, and maybe they were showcasing him last night, so you never know how that is still going to unfold. But if he's on the team, I know the talk is Goddard is going to take over the role, but if you're Philly at this point, you look at this receiving core, it's so incomplete. Devontae Smith, they hope, is going to be a star. You don't draft him 10th overall if you don't feel that way, but he's hurt. Rager, they thought was going to be good. Don't draft him in the first round. If not, hasn't materialized yet. Can't give up on him. While Quez Watkins showed some things, he's, a sixth-round pick? So still has, room to grow. And obviously, he's very fast. But those two tight ends could still be their best playmakers and pass catchers, as things unfold, if they keep them. So, we've seen these two guys coexist before. It ruins the ceiling for both. But absolutely, he should be on your radar. I'll just give you an example. We did one of our leagues that we're playing out for our magazine that should be on newsstands now, I think. And I punted on tight end, and I took Blake Jarwin. And I'm looking at the waiver wire, just for, options. And Zach Ertz is one of the ones that, I'll consider if he's moved someplace else, B, if he's still with Philadelphia, if Jarwin is still banged up and not 100% and losing playing time to Dalton Schultz.
Okay. And just go ahead, Chris.
One deep sleeper I want to point out in that discussion, if Zach Ertz does get moved, they've been raving about Tyree Jackson, who's a converted quarterback who wasn't really working with the first team yesterday, but started getting involved in the third drive when Joe Flacco came in. So he's not too far down the depth chart. He's apparently having a really good training camp. And this is a team that we know wants to use multiple tight ends. So if they do move Zach Ertz, he's an intriguing, he's like 6'7", super athletic. So he's a name that's been getting brought up a lot in camp and has been seeing a few reps with the first team.
Another late round running back.
Never mind.
To pick up or keep an eye on is Anthony McFarland. I don't know if he's the handcuff for Najee, because I don't know what they'll do with Snell or Ballage, whoever ends up in that role. But if something happens to Najee Harris, it seems as if Anthony McFarland, I was reading some stuff last night, was lost last year, understandably so, and seems to have got it. And Steelers, second-year running backs, that's typically when they click, if they click. Again, he's not going to be the featured guy, but he could have a role, and he could have some juice if something happens to Najee during the season.
Okay, now I'm going to give you two quick notes. I thought that Jakobi Meyers looked like he just might be a very good player. He's a solid player. He only had, if you look at the box score, one catch for 11 yards, but he actually had a really nice catch that, if they had challenged, would have been overturned. It was ruled an incomplete pass. But I'm interested to see if Jakobi Meyers can carve kind of a PPR role out. We'll see if they can distribute the ball to enough players. But wanted to mention that. And Mac Jones, 4.6 yards per attempt. That's obviously horrible, very conservative, but his best throw of the night was a fairly deep ball down the sideline that should have been caught for a touchdown by Christian Wilkerson. He dropped it, would have made his numbers a little bit better, but Mac Jones, just very conservative, but played with poise, as you will read, and a good debut for him.
And Cam Newton nearly died.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing, it's a little easier doing what Mac Jones did when Chase Young isn't shoving your left tackle out of the way and blowing you up on the blind side.
Yes.
He stays healthy. He may be the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, he looked really good.
Okay. A spot in the 2021 podcast league is up for bid in our St. Jude Draft Prepping for Charity eBay store. Go to cbssports.com/eBay. donate, and bid. You want in the podcast league? Send something creative to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. But if you don't have anything to send, you can buy your way in, which we always encourage. cbsports.com/ebay goes to a great cause, supports St. Jude. The bidding concludes on Thursday, August 19th. And the podcast league is Monday. I believe that is August 30th. Is that right? August 30th?
Yes.
Okay. At 8 p.m. Eastern. Monday, August 30th, 8 p.m. Eastern. So go to cbsports.com/ebay. We already have pushing 100 entries right now into the podcast league. And
how much is Nando donated to?
I don't know.
For your thing.
I don't know. Nando is driving me crazy.
Nando went up to $60 on this.
This is from me announcing the first round picks of your draft. You can bid on that as well, up to $70. All right, benefits charity.
Whoever wins that has to like just put the worst team names possible.
That's a good idea. All right, let's do some news and notes before we get into your questions via Apple Podcasts and email. Urban Meyer is not committing to Trevor Lawrence as his week one starter. Are you buying that, Jamie?
No, not at all. It's the college mentality of earn your spot. It's the potential of maybe trying to drum up trade interest for Gardner Minshew. It's Minshew probably playing a little bit better in camp in some moments than Trevor Lawrence is because he's a veteran that's been around a couple years. But it would be the dumbest thing maybe ever if Trevor Lawrence is not the week one starter for a team that just needs a face and needs a guy to, cornerstone. That's the guy. You don't take him first overall and play Gardner Minshew as your starter.
I'm surprised Urban Meyer's not doing like helmet stickers and all together. Like you're not on the team until you make the team kind of stuff. Cause he seems to be bringing a lot of that college mentality with him.
Pete Prisco was there. He said he's never seen a staff as large as Urban Meyer's. He has the most coaches he's ever seen.
Yeah, there was a really good feature in The Athletic where he talked about how he wanted to make sure he was surrounded by experienced NFL coaches, which is it's a good sign given how different the culture is.
He's got a lot of them, apparently.
Yeah. Who is the Houston starting running back, Chris?
Mark Ingram / Philip Lindsay, according to their unofficial depth chart. Was so strange that it almost looked like performance art. Like Nico Collins was like ninth at wide receiver. Deshaun Watson was fourth at quarterback, which obviously I think there's more going on there. And then Mark Ingram and Philip Lindsay listed as co-starters at running back. Sure.
So what do we do? What do we do? Do we know just not draft any of them or take Lindsay late? What do you do with the Texans running backs?
I wouldn't pick any of them inside the top 100. At this point, they're all low upside. Like Lindsay and Johnson, I think Johnson's probably still the guy to take. They wouldn't have restructured his contract and kept him around, I think, if they weren't going to use him. But that's going to be such a bad offense. There's not going to be a lot of value in it anyway. That if they're splitting work, if it's not a clear one number one guy, I don't think you're going to have a starter there.
The only thing I think to maybe hope for David Johnson, and I'll say this to you, Adam, because you drafted him a lot, and people that have taken him
a lot
in early drafts, best ball, whatever the case may be. This is going to be a different offense, especially if it's no Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. and we know that he hasn't traditionally thrown to his running backs a lot. So if you go just based on the ESPN report that we saw earlier this week of David Johnson playing more of the Duke Johnson role. And again, I'm saying this with the offense changing. If he's more of a pass catching back, which we know he's capable of doing as he showed us at Arizona and in the 11 catch game last season, it may be a benefit to him because they're going to be chasing points and he's going to be maybe on the field a little bit more than the other two guys who may split rushing down work. So if there is reason to hope for David Johnson, it could be that his pass catching role increases and, David Culley and the coaching staff there, they lean on their running backs a little bit more in the passing game.
Okay, Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports thinks that Justin Jackson has a stranglehold on the number two running back job for the Chargers. Quentin Nelson and Carson Wentz, they're trending in the right direction. They could be ready for week one. So, okay, are we back Jonathan Taylor back closer to the top five now? Or, are we drafting Carson Wentz? Are we drafting Quentin Nelson in offensive line leagues? you know, we reacted pretty strongly to the initial news that they could miss, what was it, 5 to 12 weeks.
12 weeks. I think, you know, one thing that was a little concerning, you know, piggybacking off of this news was Jim Irsay, the owner, saying they're not going to put Wentz on the field until he's 100%.
Yeah, but that's not. But still, it's looking like the shorter end of the timeline.
Oh, for sure. It's not October.
Right, now.
It's now September.
Yeah, I think the key thing, though, is they'll be able to get on the field for the first time Monday and Tuesday of this week, pretty much, or early this week with, you know, being 2 weeks removed from surgery. From what I understand, that was like kind of the timetable where they can start working out. And I think we probably won't know until then, you know, see how they start reacting to this. One other thing that I did read was apparently the left tackle situation there has been brutal in training camp with Eric Fisher recovering from that Achilles tear. And so if Nelson's not available for week one and Fisher, who has a chance for week one, but it's not clear yet, that could be a pretty bad offensive line to start the season.
Oh, okay. Ryan Kelly's been banged up too, their center.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's got like an elbow.
All right. Thing. So what does this mean for Jonathan Taylor, though? Is he still kind of toward the back end of the first round? Is he in the middle?
In the middle of the first round, non-PPR, he's in the conversation. PPR, I think he's the back end of the first round, you know, beginning of the second, depending on how many receivers and anybody beside Kelsey, you know, going in the first round. I think, though, the fact that it is on the shorter end of the rehab schedule or recovery schedule, and hopefully the left tackle situation is figured out, but that's more of a passing situation than it is a rushing situation, you know, because if Nelson and Kelly are right, you know, that interior offensive line should be amazing. I would make offers for Jonathan Taylor now, you know, if you can, because you still may find some panicked people that aren't paying attention.
All right, let's fire through the rest of this here. James Conner is on the reserve COVID list, but he's a close contact, so hopefully he's back within a few days. It is, according to The Athletic, more realistic that Rashad Bateman starts the season on IR than healthy and ready for week one.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. Cleveland's second-year safety Grant Delpit had a setback in his recovery from a hamstring injury, and he seems unlikely to play in week one, according to The Athletic. We've got to look at Minnesota's offensive line, especially at left tackle. They don't have Riley Reiff anymore, and Christian Darrisaw, rookie out of Virginia Tech, he is recovering from core muscle surgery, and he went to see a specialist, so things not going as smoothly there, I guess. And as I was watching the Patriots game last night, their announcer kept bringing up this new rule on screen passes where offensive linemen, I guess, can't go out and cut block people. I thought that was kind of interesting, something to keep an eye on. Maybe makes the screen game a little bit less effective. You know, think about a screen pass. Those offensive linemen are out there in the open field kind of cutting people, and I guess you can't do that anymore. I didn't know about this new rule. So we will see. We'll see it in action, I guess. Okay, Apple Podcast questions from Backman2547. He says, "Dear Aaron, Julio, Marvin, and in all caps, Daniel." Yeah, keeping up with the Joneses right there. "I have a question as it relates to drafting guys with value. There's been a lot of talk about the second round Saquon." Yeah, Heath kind of coined him that. "And his potential value as his draft stock is currently unstable. In 2015, I had the 9th pick and consensus top 5. Eddie Lacy fell to me. I figured it was great value to end up with him there, so I drafted him. He was absolutely terrible, and he sunk my team. Ever since then, I've been hesitant to draft players who are sliding down the rankings, even if they have good value where I'm drafting. This year's case would be Saquon Barkley. I'm drafting 10th overall in a 12-team PPR league, and I'm almost positive Barkley will be there at 10. I'm probably going to pass on him there, but if he's still there at 15... is he worth taking at 15, Saquon Barkley?"
I moved him up to 6, so I have no problem taking him back into the first round or certainly 15. So I'm probably the wrong person to ask. I'm always going to try and get the league winner if possible, and I think he's a league winner.
Yeah, he certainly can be. If he's out there and playing something close to a full allotment of snaps in week one, I think you got to approach him as if he's pretty much himself. We'll need to see how the rest of the preseason goes, but yeah, I've got him at 8 at running back. I haven't moved him down all that much. I mean, he did, when I first did my rankings, he was number 2, and then I realized I was being a little too bullish. But no, as far as trying to find upside, you know, you're trying to win your league. You're not trying to avoid coming in last place, and Saquon Barkley can help you do that.
Mm-hmm. From Jay Badinger, grade the dynasty trade. Give up Amari Cooper and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Get Deshaun Watson and a 2022 first round pick and Michael Gallup. Giving up Cooper, Ryan Fitzpatrick, getting Watson, a first round pick next year, and Michael Gallup.
If you can afford to lose Cooper, then I like the trade, but I'd like to know what the rest of the season four looks like.
He has Ridley, McLaurin, Deontay Johnson, and Jamar Chase.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're buying in on Deshaun Watson playing, if not this year, next year. I hope you have another quarterback situation, but Fitzpatrick in Dynasty is, you know, kind of worthless. Gallup could be certainly interesting on a new team, and then whatever that pick turns into. So
yeah, like Cooper for a one and Gallup seems okay. You know, I think
not if it's a late round though, late one though.
Right. But you know, this far out, you know, I think you would want more, but it's not like horrible. So even if something does happen and Watson doesn't contribute at all this season, I think it's very unlikely he's looking at a multi-season suspension, although, you know, we'll see. I think it's fine.
All right. By the way, we're not putting any keeper. We had so many Apple Podcast questions. We probably would have done an hour and a half if we had read all the keeper questions. So like I said, if you want to leave your Apple Podcast reviews, that's so much appreciated. Please leave a nice review with it, not just a question, but please tell people what you like about the show as we try to hook on some more listeners and grow our podcast. But also no more keeper questions. Just can't really do them right now. This is from Colby Dog 0707. I play in a 12 team half PPR league where you start three receivers and two flex. The league is designed to make the rosters deeper, use more players and incentivize trading. How do you think the draft strategy should change when you're starting three wide receivers and two flex and two running backs, by the way, in a half PPR league?
This is the format Jamie and I drafted in last week for the Flex League. I think the way you should approach this, and I think this is generally true in a one Flex three wide receiver league, but there you probably shouldn't be looking to start a running back in your Flex in either spot. The most optimal approach is probably going to be to have five starting wide receivers, which, you know, means, you know, I think, Adam, you didn't love John Daigle's approach of taking eight wide receivers to start his draft or whatever it was when you guys talked about it earlier.
Oh, yeah, I hated it.
But I think the logic there, you know, getting bench wide receivers before you filled out your other spots, it, you know, there's some logic there to it. You know, you should be looking to have more viable starting options at wide receiver and a three wide receiver, two flex league, then you have starting.
But why not? But why can't your flex be a running back?
This question is in full PPR or half?
No, it's a half PPR question.
Yeah, that changes things. Full PPR.
It changes things a little bit, but they're just, I don't think there are enough good running backs out there to be worth starting in those situations.
But it depends on how you start your team though.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's obviously going to be, you know, who you find on the waiver wire, who you get as a late round pick that turns into, you know, a difference making kind of player. But, you know, to take John's approach, John Daigle's approach, like he added to his bench while sacrificing two starting spots, you know, so he's hoping, right. He's hoping for waivers or injuries, which will happen. And again, you know, he's going to win this league if Aaron Jones and Ezekiel Elliott go down at any point and he has a stretch of AJ Dillon and Tony Pollard. But you know, he sort of, you know, handicapped himself a little bit by the way that he overextended it. Now, I think in half PPR, you can't start running backs in the flex. If you hit on the right players, you know, so, you know, you got to hope that those guys that are going in the round 5 through 7 range of Miles Gaskin and Mike Davis and Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, you know, that those type of players are starting options that have, you know, the ability to be better than Jerry Jeudy or Brandon Cooks or, you know, those type of receivers. The receivers are safer, you know, but I don't think it's a bad idea to necessarily have a running back in the flex spot. I don't think you're going to kill yourself that way.
No, and you need to have some depth at running back too, because sometimes, as we all know, throughout the fantasy season, it's hard to find even two running backs. You get injuries, you get bye weeks and things like that. So, you know, you got to start two running backs and you need some depth there as well. I don't know. I wouldn't go. Sure, I wouldn't go completely crazy, but that was just one person doing one thing that probably nobody else is going to do.
I wasn't saying that was the optimal strategy.
Yeah,
but the idea of having more viable starting wide receivers, I think, makes sense. And
well, Chris, let me ask you, what's your starting lineup in that league? Because it's similar.
Timeout. Your league is full PPR?
Our league is half.
Your league is half. So this is the same exact format. So
it's the same exact thing.
Three receivers, two running backs, and two flex. One quarterback, by the way.
That draft kind of went sideways on me pretty early and ended up not taking a wide receiver until the fifth round. So,
So you didn't follow your
as I say, not as I teach. I've got Lamar Jackson, Alvin Kamara, and David Montgomery. Then my wide receivers are actually pretty weak. I just had to shoot for upside at that point because I also went with Darren Waller. So I've got Jamar Chase, Will Fuller, Mecole Hardman, Rondale Moore, Curtis Samuel, Emmanuel Sanders.
So you're starting two of those receivers at flex.
I might actually end up starting James Robinson, but he fell really far in this draft.
Okay.
I got him in the eighth round. So that's, you know, obviously the draft circumstances can dictate other things. But getting James Robinson in the eighth round, you can't necessarily rely on getting a guy with that kind of role that late.
Right. But you're right now your flex options would be Curtis Samuel, Mecole Hardman, or James Robinson for two spots. So like my team is my flex options right now would be Tyler Boyd and Kareem Hunt with a lineup of Aaron Jones, Jonathan Taylor, Cooper Kupp, and Keenan Allen. You know, so it's one and one.
Don't you have to start three receivers?
I'm sorry, Juju's the third receiver.
Oh, that's really good. Who's your quarterback?
So, Kyler.
And you punted tight end?
I took Troutman and Logan Thomas.
Dude, you have a super team.
Thomas fell a lot in that league.
You must love your team. Your team sounds incredible.
I got lucky with my 5, 6, 7 round picks of maybe even the eighth round. I think I took James Conner in the eighth round or Latavius Murray in the eighth round.
Team is loaded.
I ended up with Kyler in round 5, Juju in round 6, Kareem Hunt in round 7. You know, so those three picks in a row were pretty. I was pretty happy about that three round. Run.
And listen, Juju in round 6, and we were just doing the wide receivers preview yesterday, and that's earlier than his ADP, but in this format, remember, three wide receivers, two flex, and I know Jamie said on a different show, went super early.
I brought this up when we were doing the wide receiver preview, that he was the 29th receiver off the board. You know, that just was, to me, incredible value.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. From Mike in a city with a twin bridge in Sydney, Australia. Huh. I have no idea. Dear Joaquin, Jared, Jack, Caesar, and Heath. Also no idea. Boy, you're stumping us, Mike. If there was
Jokers?
One... What'd you say?
Jokers. Heath Ledger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep, well, I don't know the other guys, I guess.
I don't Joaquin know who Jared.
Yeah, I don't know
Jared Leto.
Oh, okay.
Who's Caesar?
Yeah.
Huh?
Who's Caesar?
Who's who?
Caesar.
Caesar was the guy who played him in the TV show in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Can't remember his name, but yeah.
Good job, you bunch of jokers. All right, if there was one rookie wide receiver and one rookie running back we should target in a keeper league, who would it be and in what round? 12-team PPR, how vague.
Najee Harris and Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
No, I think
if you're going deeper than
round
that.
Round
10?
Round 10 for Harris and Chase.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
You know, if you're looking for, you know, guys who may be impact players next year, Rondale Moore would probably be the first name on the list for me.
Yep.
Just because I don't know how great he'll be as a rookie, but I do think, you know, once AJ Green is done and, you know, Christian Kirk is maybe on a different team, he could be the number two option, maybe even the number one option, depending on what happens with Hopkins. So he's definitely somebody that you should be targeting. The running back is interesting. Who would be a guy that maybe, you know, I hate to just go off of what happened last night, but Ramondre Stevenson, he was somebody that I was looking for in all of my dynasty drafts, and I just was not able to get him. Kenneth Gainwell is another one too, just because I think those two guys could have pretty decent roles. Like I said, I hope they move on from Sony Michel because I think Stevenson could, you know, play in tandem with Damien Harris and maybe be better than Harris.
And someone I've been targeting late, I mean, I think, one, not quite as late, but Trey Sermon, you know, seventh, eighth round in redraft leagues. I think he's definitely someone worth identifying. But late, Javion Hawkins, he's an undrafted free agent for the Falcons who's competing for the number two spot. Who knows if he'll actually get that by the end of the preseason, but I feel like Mike Davis could be like two games where he rushes for 37 yards total on 20 carries away from losing that job, in which case, they really like Javion Hawkins apparently. So
that's I don't know when you're airing this, Adam, if it's
Saturday.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're playing DFS Friday night, that's a great target.
Oh yeah. He is in my DFS lineup as well as someone whose name I think is Racy McMath.
Oh yeah. Racy McMath.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I would also put, for that answer to that question, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Apparently having a very strong training camp.
Oh, he's also in my lineup. Racy McMath, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So,
and Josh Palmer.
That's a good call. Yeah.
But if you're looking for a late round rookie, they love him.
Yes. Los Angeles. I'm glad you brought up Trey Sermon because Jonathan Jones, you mentioned him earlier, Adam, with his a report on the Chargers. Mm-hmm. He's with the 49ers. He's going to be with us on CBS Sports HQ on Friday. But he was with the 49ers on Thursday. And so he did a hit for another show. And he said that what he's hearing about Trey Sermon in San Francisco, they're talking about him like Alvin Kamara and Ezekiel Elliott. Like he's getting those type of comparisons. So I don't think it's going to be long before he's the guy for the 49ers, if that's true.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of beat reporters in San Francisco talking about like the usage of him might be he's actually the starter and gets, heavier work. And then Raheem Mostert comes in and, when the defense is softened up can break big plays. I think it'll be pretty close to even, but he is going to have a significant role.
I don't know that I can think of a situation where the defense got softened up and somebody came in and broke big plays. I mean, that just seems like such a ridiculous cliche.
Well, Derrick Henry does it for Derrick Henry. Every game, Derrick Henry, first three quarters, softens the defense up. No, I think it's more just about the roles.
No, I get it. I'm not criticizing what you were saying. I just think it's a dumb cliche. But all right, let's go. Let's go. Yeah. We got a lot of emails to get to here.
Maybe the Titans with Chris Johnson and Landale White.
I just think that people,
Tiki and Brandon Jacobs.
I don't believe that it actually happened.
I think those guys were just good.
Yeah. Right. I don't think Brandon Jacobs, he wasn't being used early in the game. And then Tiki came in later to make a big play. No,
you'd probably go the other way with that.
What do you mean?
That Tiki was usually in the early part of the game and then Brandon.
Yeah,
Jacobs
but so what, they used Tiki to soften the defense, like the little dude? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily the size of the player.
It's dumb. Okay, by the way, the city with a twin bridge in Australia is Bayonne, New Jersey. This is from a Cajun in South Louisiana. How does an 8-team league change your strategy for drafting quarterbacks if it's Superflex? QBs in an 8-team Superflex league. Jamie, go.
The first 8 picks, there should be probably 7 quarterbacks.
Okay, from R. Cody D. Are there any comps to be made or lessons to be learned from the Miles Sanders situation heading into last season versus Jonathan Taylor now? Sanders was being considered at the end of the first round before a spate of injuries to the offensive line pushed him back. So Cody is trying to draw comparisons between Miles Sanders and Jonathan Taylor. Chris, do you see him?
The issues for Miles Sanders weren't rushing efficiency. He actually averaged 72 rushing yards per game on 5.3 yards per carry. He was awesome as a rusher. The problem was he just completely forgot how to catch the ball and they lost trust in him. So
yeah, but the Taylor's not going to have that huge role
in training camp too.
Taylor's not going to have that huge role either in the passing game. So can you look at Miles? I don't know. I think the situations are pretty different.
Yeah.
Well, there's one big similarity. The guy handing him the ball.
Well, that's the thing. True. If Carson Wentz doesn't Phillip Rivers wasn't amazing last year, but he was good enough to provide a steady floor. Carson Wentz, I don't feel confident can do that right now, especially if the offensive line's not going to be good because last year he just could not handle the pass rush.
Yeah, Dave keeps saying that Rivers didn't play well last year. Phillip Rivers was very good last year. He was a superstar.
In my opinion, Rivers was pretty bad until I said he was the worst quarterback in football, and then he became pretty good. So
he was kind of what we think Teddy Bridgewater can do for Denver. Just like he's not going to screw up.
Okay, this is from Nano Dog. Nano Dog says, 12-team, 4 point per passing touchdown league. Where would you have the Saints quarterbacks ranked? It is a team QB league. Oh, this is so interesting. Where do you rank the Saints in a team QB league, 4 point per passing touchdown?
8.
Yeah, I think they'd be top 10.
Really?
I think that, like,
you're going to get whatever crap touchdowns Taysom Hill gives you.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
If Jameis starts, yeah. But there's not going to be that many of them. But, oh, if Jameis throws a touchdown to Taysom Hill?
Yes.
I know. But that's, you'd have to take him over like Aaron Rodgers.
If Taysom Hill was the starter, he would be a borderline top 12 guy for me. And if Jameis Winston was the starter, he'd be a top 15 guy for me.
But really, without Michael Thomas for half the season?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You're getting the potential of what you just said. There's going to probably be, I'm going to ballpark it somewhere around 5.
Of what?
I mean, he had 8.
Wait, 5 what?
Taysom had 8 touchdowns when he wasn't playing quarterback.
5 non-passing touchdowns for Taysom Hill.
Okay.
If he's not the starter.
I thought you meant 5 touchdowns, Winston to Hill.
No, that, 5. That's
probably not going to happen.
Non-passing touchdowns for Taysom Hill if he's not the starting, if he's not as a quarterback.
Okay. And if he does start, you're probably looking at 700 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns.
All right, and finally, Josh in a northern Kentucky city, Springfield, which is apparently, if you watch the Behind the Laughter episode, the Simpsons are from northern Kentucky. I'm drafting in a new league this weekend, and I'm not sure how to draft based on the roster setup. It's 10 teams, PPR, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, 1 flex. Oh, no. Okay, yeah, this is weird. You've got a super flex. You've got a wide receiver, running back, tight end, and a wide receiver running back spot. So you don't have to start a tight end. Boy, what do you do here? So if he has the number 10 spot, he thinks he should be able to get Lamar and Zeke. Oh, that is a great start in a super flex league. Right?
10
and 11? 10 and 11 overall.
Yeah, if you could get those two guys, you shouldn't be able to.
Right.
If you can.
Zeke, yes.
Yeah.
Zeke is probably there.
I think you might be able to get one of the top 5 tight ends or quarterbacks at 10th overall.
Yeah, one thing I would say, I was writing about this in the FF Today newsletter for Friday. I think my number 4 tight end is Mark Andrews, and he would be my number 26 running back if you just looked at points, and my number 41 wide receiver, which is to say you're probably shouldn't be drafting any of the tight ends except for Waller, Kittle, and Kelsey as a starter. Like, they can be potential flex options for your bench, but that's one real change, is that you can kind of push those guys way down the draft board.
And that's in this league where you don't have to start a tight end.
Yeah, you don't have to start a right. tight end.
Yeah, if you can get a top 5 or even top 6 quarterback, actually 10-team league, you should probably commit to taking a quarterback because you're not picking
right.
again
that's,
for another 20 picks.
I just don't see
picks.
Why Lamar, if Lamar's there at 10, that's a gift.
Yeah, but if you get Russell Wilson or somebody just outside the top 5 and a top running back, that's a great way to start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Unless two of those guys are sitting there if you think it's going to go the other way.
Yeah, you could do that too. I mean, in a 10-team league, super flex, you're gonna be shocked at all the value you see. All right, then. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Our first email comes from Jared. You should know. Jared Leto. All right, yeah. In the top, never mind what I was going to say. In the top 200 rankings, is that based off who's projected to score more fantasy points or a player's positional overall value or some sort of combo? Jamie, when somebody looks at your top 200 rankings, what is that based off of?
It's based off who I like best.
Yeah, but it's the second thing. It's not just who's going to score the more points. It's
because obviously
value.
It was going to be who's going to score the most points. It'd be quarterbacks, then receivers, then probably a mix of running backs and tight ends. It's where I think those players should go when you're up in your draft.
This was the question I wrote about in FF Today on Friday. Cool. My suggestion would be listen to the value-based drafting podcast that you guys did last week, because you know that gets into a lot of the discussions of how to value different positions against one another.
Yeah, but also the rankings are going to take into account upside and downside.
Yeah.
Where you might take a player that you think most realistic scenario, he's a little bit worse than someone, but you're going to rank him ahead of that person because you think he's got more upside.
That's the tough thing about rankings, is like you put them in one list, but the way it actually works is like Jarvis Landry could be anywhere from wide receiver 30 to wide receiver 40. And Mike Williams could be anywhere from wide receiver 20 to wide receiver 60.
Right.
And so which one do you value more? It depends on what part of the draft you're in, what your team looks like already. That's kind of the tough thing with the ordinal ranking list.
All right, this is from GR. I have the third pick in my 10-team PPR league. I was planning on drafting Kamara. I'm starting to feel some hesitance since the Saints don't seem to know who their wide receivers or quarterback currently are. The lack of wide receivers could result in a stacked box for Kamara, and possibly a quarterback who doesn't show a history of checking it down to the running back. Should I draft Kamara at 3, or should I draft the next running back in the rankings, or go rogue and draft Kelsey in a PPR league at 3rd overall?
I just made a change in my rankings last night. I put Zeke 3.
Wow. Now, first of all of the reports indicate that no matter who's been the quarterback, they're checking down a lot right now for the Saints. So that's something to keep in mind for Kamara. But you do bring up good points, GR. There are some concerns for Alvin Kamara. But that surprises me, Jamie, that you're going Zeke over Kamara at 3.
I just, you know, when I looked at it, this is obviously assuming that Dak is right. Because if Dak is not right, then it's easy to, you know, drop Zeke down who knows how far. But, you know, he's shown the ability to catch the ball from Prescott. He's in better shape. Offensive line is healthy. I wouldn't be surprised if he is challenging for the rushing record again. I just think that he's got a little bit more upside right now. So he's 3rd for me in both formats. In PPR, Kamara's 4.
Okay. Kamara's my number 2 player. I love him this season. I think whether it's Hill, there's some concerns about how much the passing volume is going to be there, but he's going to be a more efficient runner if Taysom Hill's the starting quarterback, and I think he's going to run more. I think they're going to have to use him. He's probably, I would imagine he's going to set a career high in rushing attempts. And you know, as far as the stacked box thing, like most of the research I've seen shows that how many defenders are in the box when a running back gets carries is a result of the personnel that the offense has on the field, not how many threats they have, you know, whether they have good wide receivers. Like if you're running an 11 personnel, you're probably not going to run against a lot of stack boxes, and the Saints are probably going to run an 11 personnel quite a bit.
Yeah, I just remember seeing a few years ago that they had such a great running game. It was one of the years where Mark Ingram and Kamara are both great, and they saw the, you know, like the fifth fewest eight-man boxes. I don't know if that was because of what you just said, their personnel, or because they had Drew Brees. But yeah.
Well, that was that back when Jimmy Graham was there too?
No, I don't think so.
No,
because
Graham and Kamara ever played together.
Yeah,
because okay, they're a team that doesn't run a ton of sets with their tight end in line either. So they're just, they spread the field out, and that's what the defense is reacting to more than.
Sure, right. You can't go 8-man in the box if you had to cover guys on the perimeter. Right.
Nick Chubb sees a lot of 8-man boxes. Not, I mean, he's really good and defenses want to stop him, but also because they're in two tight end sets or two RB sets all the time.
All right, I will just say that if you really don't feel good about anyone at 3 overall, I have made the case that you could. I think it's justifiable to take Kelce because he is so safe, and he's been the number one PPR tight end 5 years in a row, and he's
got huge upside,
and he can score over 300 points, which is not something that you see a lot of running backs do. Now Kamara and Zeke at their best could score 350 points or something like that. Yeah. So I get that, but. You know, Jamie, you said that Zeke has more upside than Kamara, but who has more downside?
I think Kamara. You know, just we said this on the running back show. You know, I think he's going to be fantastic catching the ball. That I don't think is going to go away. But if the touchdowns become a problem because the offense is a problem, then you have to really be concerned. And so, again, I think it just comes down to quarterback. If you tell me Dak is right, this is going to be one of the best offenses in football. I don't know if that's going to be the case for the Saints, no matter who the quarterback is.
Okay, from Dennis in an Air Force base in North Carolina. We're in a 14-team PPR league, and we're doing a third-round reversal. So the pick 14 gets the first pick in round 3, and then we continue a snake draft. What pick do you want with a 14-team league with a third-round reversal? Chris?
Man, I had the second pick in Scott Fishbowl, which was 12-team third-round reversal, and it's really rough to have to wait that long to get your... third player, well, your second and then your third player. So I still think, though, I think if you get your choice of any spot, I think the first pick is the way to go. Just because I think Christian McCaffrey is such an edge on everything else. And the deeper the league is, having one player who can produce like that, that's going to make up for so many faults in your lineup.
Okay. From Dean, dear Nigel, Sticky Beard. Kuki and number 5.
I looked it up. It's a children's show, I believe.
Oh, okay. What show?
Operation Quiet? No. Codename Kids Next Door is the name of the show.
Oh, all right. God. Operation Quiet would be something I really need to incorporate in my house. Okay, so Dean is... has the second pick at a 12.
I have a 3-year-old that's been sitting next to me for 45 minutes. That's actually been quiet. I'm surprised.
Really? I heard him once. Yeah, that's pretty good.
He's watching Wreck-It Ralph for like the 50th time.
Oh, love that movie. Me and him.
Oh, man.
Makes me cry every time.
That's what my brother said Field of Dreams makes him cry every time.
Well, you cry every time at Jerry Maguire because it's a romance.
It is. God, Field of Dreams is just...
I don't like it.
The most overrated movie in history.
Also, like, they weren't actually playing at the Field of Dreams yesterday.
No, they're playing next to it.
Just to be clear, they were playing at a dream adjacent field. It was like a couple of blocks away from the Field of Dreams. Don't lie to me, Major League Baseball.
It was pretty cool, though.
No, it was very cool.
When they all appeared out of the corn in the end, that was...
Loved the walk-off home run against the Yankees.
Right, shut up. So here's the question from Dean. 12-team standard scoring league, getting a stud running back in round one. Aaron Boone is so ridiculous. Getting a stud running back in round one, but how would you go about the 2-3 turn and the 4-5 turn with the second overall pick in a 12-team standard scoring league? Jamie, just overall, you're thinking, all right, I got Dalvin Cook in round one. It's standard scoring. What do I do with my next 4 picks?
Standard, I would look for a running back in round 2. You know, that's kind of J.K. Dobbins, David Montgomery range. You know, I would consider that there. I would probably, you know, look for best available either wide receiver or tight end in round 3. You know, that's typically going to be, I think, where Waller, Kittle are, mm-hmm. if, you know, so inclined to go that route. And then, you know, then I start looking wide receiver. But I try to get 2 running backs in my first 2 picks if you can. First 3 picks, excuse me.
Next question from Oscar. would love a quick breakdown of the top five offensive lines. Who's your top five offensive lines?
Dallas is in the conversation. New Orleans is in the conversation. Tennessee's in the conversation.
Cleveland.
Colts.
Cleveland.
Colts if they're healthy.
Here's how PFF ranks it.
I think New England up there now.
Cleveland, Indianapolis, New England, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Oh, let's not forget about them. Then Dallas, then the Chiefs. The Chiefs I don't know about right now.
Man, the Chiefs, they pretty much turned over their entire offensive line, didn't they? They have four new starters on the line?
Yes, that was right. They have two new tackles. They have Laurent Duvernay-Tardif back. Actually, Mike Remmers is back at right tackle.
Well, the doctor's out now.
Yeah, right. Duvernay-Tardif got hurt. They signed Joe Tooney. So they've got a good offensive line as well. That's the Chiefs. And then the Rams come in eighth for PFF. All right. Thank you, Oscar. This is from Zach. 10-team league, half PPR. I get to pick my draft spot. Does he just take first?
If you have the choice, you should always take first. Pretty much every season, the first pick has the highest win percentage.
Could that have been true last year?
Honestly, I think it was pretty close to true. I don't know if it had the best, but it actually was better than you would think, which is very surprising. But Remember, Christian McCaffrey was amazing the three games he played, and you might have already had Mike Davis. So I had
the first pick, I think, in one league, and I won it. It was our Fantasy Football Today league, and I was able to get Mike Davis, so I'm sure that probably helped. But it was obviously more challenging than it was in previous years.
Yeah. From Christina, 12-team PPR keeper league. I'm picking third in the second round. I have to keep Patrick Mahomes. Would you pair him with Tyreek Hill or best available running back who could end up being Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, or Aaron Jones?
I think I have Jones higher than Hill. I think I have Hill higher than the other two, though.
Yeah, I would go Jones.
Then from Steven from Duval. Dear Duval. Remy, Jerry, Speedy, and Splinter. These are Ninja Turtle rat masters. Well, just Splinter is. I don't know who the other guys are. How many quarterbacks will throw 600 times this year? And who are they?
Oh, those are just like mice / rats.
Oh.
Speedy Gonzalez, Jerry from Tom and Jerry, yeah. Remy from Ratatouille.
Oh, I never saw Ratatouille.
Oh, it's so good, Adam. Come on.
Gosh, you like all the kids' movies.
Love God.
Maybe you should get some kids, Chris.
Paddington 2 is one of the best movies ever made.
Which one?
Paddington 2.
Amazing Paddington movie. 2?
No, it literally had the highest rating on Rotten Tomatoes ever. Higher than Citizen Kane.
What? Really?
And it's better than Citizen Kane.
That's probably true.
I don't
true.
Care about a wagon or whatever, a toboggan.
So you've got projections. So how many quarterbacks are you projecting to throw 600 times?
Oh, well.
You got Lamar, Taysom.
Yeah. I have 11.
Yeah. How about like 630 times since it's a 17-game season?
None.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't have anybody projected there, but there's a bunch in the 610 to 620 range. Roethlisberger, Fitzpatrick, Burrow, Dak, Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, and Stafford are all in the 610 to 620 range.
Okay. Well, that was a good mailbag, everybody. I want to thank everyone for contributing, for giving us your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and your Apple Podcast reviews. We have a fun weekend coming up. So this is your Saturday episode. Tomorrow, you've got your live salary cap draft that we did on Tuesday. I'm airing the entire thing. It was a long episode. Was it the entire thing? It was close. We didn't complete the salary cap draft on the air, but it's much of it, and I think you should learn some really good lessons. We had some good guests from around the industry. I honestly don't remember, but yeah, I think I did like my team. I must say, Jamie, it was the worst team you've ever drafted.
I love my team.
No, okay, no way. Let's go.
I don't know if you guys talked about this on the pod, but nobody overpaid in that draft. It was like the weirdest salary cap draft I've ever done.
I talked about it because I read your comment in the chat room.
Yeah, every single draft pick, at least based on your guys' consensus values, was pretty much within a couple of dollars. You usually see, you know, early on, maybe someone goes for $5, $6, $7, $8 more, but everybody played it very, very cool.
Dude, Jamie, this is the worst team. You've never drafted a worse team.
I love this team.
All right, here we go. Ready? Yep. Matthew Stafford, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Miles Gaskin.
Very happy about that.
Tyreek Hill, Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, Odell Beckham, Irv Smith at tight end, Jerry Jeudy at flex, and Laviska Shenault at flex, possibly Kareem Hunt, possibly a flex. Trey Sermon, you have good depth. I'll give you that. Your best pick's probably the Rams DST.
That's my best pick.
Chris, come on, this team sucks.
I don't like it. No.
What do you like about this team, Jamie? It's so many question marks.
I don't have to make a waiver move.
Because you do have the best. You must have the best bench because you didn't go crazy and spend big on a lot on. I'm sure you did on Tyreek Hill, maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but. You've got a great
24 for Hill, 16 for Helaire. They were both pretty reasonable.
Great balance bench with Sermon and Kareem Hunt, Laviska Shenault, Jonnu Smith, and Darnell Mooney. But to have Jamar Chase and Odell Beckham as wide receivers 2 and 3, I mean, Chase is fine, but Beckham at 3 and Jerry Jeudy at 4.
But I can play Shenault if he's the guy I think he's going to be. I can Jeudy.
You do not love this team.
I love it a lot.
Jamie loves all his kids and all his teams, apparently.
My teams are all my kids.
All right, thanks, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we will talk to you on Sunday, as you can hear all about Jamie's team. That's a good one. See ya.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.